You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, social media companies began to face a jury trial for the first time in the US. The claims being made are that social media is addictive and harmful for young people's mental health, and that this is by design. While this unfolds, experts have pointed to significant links between this trial and those faced by the tobacco industry. Similar arguments are being made on both sides, and there are lessons that can be taken from the decades-long fight to hold tobacco and smoking accountable for its health harms. I spoke to Senior Research Fellow in General Practice and Primary Care at the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland, Dr. Samantha Marsh, about these links and what more we need to see about social media-based harms domestically. To get us started, what is this trial over social media going on in the US?
Yeah, so this is the first ever product liability trial against social media platforms. So basically what that means is that up until now, these trials haven't gone before a jury because they get thrown out beforehand because they're protected by what's called Section 230. But that basically means that they aren't responsible for users' posts on their platforms. But this time, the attorneys are arguing that it's actually the way the platforms are designed, which is causing harm. So it's pretty exciting. It's being called the tobacco trials of this generation.
What is the strength of these arguments against these social media companies over this harm?
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I think what we're going to see is that these companies, and we're already seeing it, is that they're going to argue that there is actually no such thing as social media addiction. And so it's going to be hard for the attorneys to prove that social media is addictive. And it's interesting because this is exactly what happened in the tobacco industry. So, in the 60s, they knew that nicotine was addictive, but they publicly said that that wasn't the case, and it didn't really, come out until the 90s. And this is because social media addiction isn't actually a formal clinical diagnosis at this stage. So proving not only that it exists, but also that the companies are responsible for it is probably going to be quite difficult. I think it's important to remember that, though, social media addiction, it's not a formally labelled as an addiction, but it doesn't mean that it isn't addictive and that it doesn't kind of create addictive-like behaviours. And most experts now agree, with that. And I think what's going to be really important here is the internal documents from these companies showing that they purposefully designed their products to be addictive and knew that they were harming young people but did nothing about it.
And you've given one similarity there, but what other kind of similarities exist between these tobacco trials and now this social media trial?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be more about kind of how they're going to argue these things. So I suspect that they're going to say, the causation versus correlation argument, and this is what tobacco did for a really long time, was say that, we know that people who have lung cancer don't always smoke, and also that not everybody that smokes gets lung cancer. So proving that, somebody actually got lung cancer from smoking was really hard, and it took a really long time for that to be done. And I think it's probably going to be even more complex with social media, because mental health is obviously, it's complex, it's multifaceted, there's lots of drivers behind it. So how are they going to argue that the platform themselves actually caused the mental health issues that these plaintiffs are saying that it did? And then I think, there'll be a lot of corporate blame shifting, which tobacco companies did for years and these tech companies have been doing, which is basically saying that the parents and the children are responsible for their behaviours. So that was one that was really important for smoking, was saying that people, had made a choice to smoke, and so that they are actually responsible for the injuries that they that happened because they chose to smoke. I think those are some of the big ones. But what we did see with tobacco was really questioning scientists and kind of painting them as very extreme. And when they said that tobacco causes cancer. And, you know, we've seen this have been happening for years with social media, that, you know, it's a moral panic, and that the academics who are saying that there's a relationship here, you know, they're extreme and things like that. So lots of similarities between the two.
And when considering that moral panic, is there a role that kind of public perception of social media is going to play in this? Is there a feeling that people believing that social media is addictive en masse is going to affect this trial?
I can't say what sort of effect that will have. What I think is going to happen, though, is regardless of the outcome, you know, there's going to be a lot of internal documents released, and I think this is really going to change public perception of these companies. And, you know, even if they lose, I think it's, you know, there's going to be a big fallout from this, and these companies might have to change their products. But with respect to what the general population think, I think it's, you know, important that we don't disregard what people on the front line, you know, like what parents and teachers and schools have been seeing for a really long time. This is a very difficult area to do research in, to, you know, even just to measure social media. And it's so variable as to one person's experience to another. So, you know, the research is always a bit, you know, it's not 100% clear, and that's just what research is in general. And in almost every field, these companies have been taken advantage of that, and some academics have as well. But, you know, I do think that people on the front line, you know, they have been seeing what's happening to children for a number of years now, and that's actually important. And we, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And drawing from these similarities, in terms of next steps for the prosecution, both in the trial and going forward into the future, what kind of things do you want to see from these people trying to make this argument that maybe social media is harmful?
I think the biggest thing, and what we saw from the landmark tobacco case in 1998, was that it brought about structural changes. And I think, you know, that's going to be really important for this. We, you know, hopefully that these companies will be forced to change the way that they are designing their products, so that they can't have persuasive design behind it. So that's things like, you know, the infinite scroll and variable reward schedules, which are basically modelled off slot machines. You know, as I said, designed to be addictive, whether they are actually addictive or not. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing, and that these companies could be liable for the way that they have designed their products.
Kind of on that public health perspective, like, what are we seeing from social media, at least in Aotearoa?
There's been very little research in New Zealand, to be honest. Internationally, we know, you know, there's big studies that are very consistently showing harm to pretty much every mental health outcome, but also physical health and things like that. In New Zealand, we know that Māori kids are being targeted more. You know, they're and so more likely to have the negative outcomes that we're talking about. Similar things are seen overseas. From our own research in New Zealand, we know that lots of kids are using them. So we did a survey at the end of last year, and we found, you know, the average amount of time spent on social media is 2.5 hours for New Zealand teens, but almost a third said that they spend at least 5 hours a day on these platforms. So that's, you know, pretty huge. That's particularly when we're thinking about the displacement effect. So that's like what we know is really good for children. Things like, you know, time in nature, being physically active, just spending time alone with their own thoughts even. That stuff is getting displaced. We also know that about 22% of our teens have met the criteria for problematic social media use, which is basically a pattern of behaviour which mirrors addiction and has quite strongly linked with negative outcomes. And then I guess really something that was really interesting that we found in our survey was almost 4 out of 10 New Zealand teens said that they wish social media had never been invented. So I think when we kind of look at that and then look at the fact that 33% or 32% of our kids are on it for at least 5 hours a day, you know, they're on these platforms, but they wish they weren't on them. They wish they'd never been invented. And I think that's, you know, when we're beginning to talk about how they're designed and how they engage our kids for, you know, really long periods of time. We're seeing, you know, kids who are kind of trapped on these platforms and they don't want to be trapped on them.
And so while the trial is all about kind of the liability of these companies, in the meantime, what do you want to see locally here from the government or from whoever is involved in kind of fighting this?
I think at the moment we definitely need age restrictions. I think that's important because, you know, it could be a really long time before these companies change their products in a way that actually makes them safe for kids. And, you know, even making changes, we need to see that those changes do make them safe because that remains to be seen. So that's just kind of the first thing you would like to see. But there's so much other stuff that could be done. You know, I was talking to a parent recently who's, you know, she was talking about her son being, you know, hugely addicted, and a lot of his friends are, and, you know, when you try and take these products away from their kids, they threaten suicide and things like that. We need, you know, our mental health providers, our GPs, to be aware of this, the impact of social media, and also what to do with it. Overseas, you know, there's special clinics and stuff for these kids, but we don't have anything like that in New Zealand. I also think schools could be providing a lot of spaces where our kids could be, particularly after schools, and this is one thing when we interviewed or we surveyed kids, and they said that they want schools to provide them with more spaces where they can be, where smartphones and social media are kind of not, where they're banned, so that they can actually spend some time together.
That was Senior Research Fellow at the University of Auckland, Dr. Samantha Marsh, on the jury trials against social media companies in the US and how they reflect tobacco cases in the late 20th century.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.